gather round. I'm glad everybody came out tonight. As we stand on our neighborhood corner, know that this fire that's burning represents the passion you have. Listen. I recognize all of you. Every creed and color. With that being said,
We had!
Say what?
Now beat that.
Oh, yeah!
Now what we want you all to do is sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. Sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. Sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. And if you dig it, let me hear your finger snap, y'all.
Now, before I finish, let me just say, I did not come here to show out. Did not come here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
Okay, I'll reload it.
Sports bars to the stands, we are the voice of the fans. You are now plugged into your sports mixtape. This is the Section 357 show, and we are presenting to you the Ball Street Journal with your Ball Street Journal reporters, B, Trey, Ron, and myself, Floyd. Fellas, how you doing?
Doing absolutely fantastic, as always. Got another great show lined up for the fans out there. Got a friend of the show on here. Going to have some great conversation about a very interesting and perhaps controversial topic. But something that is not controversial is my man, Ronnie. How you doing?
I'm doing great, B. One of the friends of the program, as you say. And this could be a lesson to all our fans out there. When you come on our show, you become a champion. 2012, we had this guest on, the Ravens won the Super Bowl. 2013, we had one of our other friends of the program, Dana OG, Seattle wins the Super Bowl. So definitely become a friend of the Section 357 show. It might be good luck for you. But we're going to talk Ray Rice, this new era of Ravens football. So it's going to be a great conversation with her. But before we bring her into the fold, somewhere out there between Santa Monica and San Jose, it's L.A. Trey. Trey, what's going on?
What is going on, my brother? Happy to be here with the rest of y'all, man. Chopping it up, talking sports, hip-hop, love, everything, man. And if what you're saying is true, Ron, my mom is one of the greatest Titan fans I've ever seen in my entire life. We should make space for the next one. With that being said, let's get this thing started.
You are plugged in to the Section 357 show. Find us on Twitter at Section 357. You can also download and subscribe to the podcast on Stitcher, on Podomatic, and on iTunes as well. But with that being said, let's welcome in friend of the show, Crystal, aka Raven Girl. Crystal, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Doing great. Happy to have you on. Now, as Big Shot Ron said earlier, friend of the show, you've been on the show a couple of times before. We're always happy to have you. But I don't think that we've had you on the show in a moment where there's been as much attention around your beloved Ravens as there is right now. So let's not even sidestep any of the big questions here. Ray Rice, let's start at the beginning when you first heard the news of what happened with Ray Rice in the elevator. What were your initial thoughts then, and what were your initial thoughts when you saw the video?
My initial thoughts, of course, were, oh, no, because there were some other things that had taken place, not just with Ray Rice, but with other members of the team. So my first thought was, you know, not us. You know, not we don't want to be the team that's, you know, always, you know, players getting arrested. You know, we didn't want that stigma. But if you know anything about me, I'm always the kind of I need to wait and see what's really going on. I didn't really want to jump out there to judge, jump to any necessary conclusions without finding out, you know, what really happened. And to this day, I still don't know what happened. When I saw the video, all I saw, from my perspective, was Ray carrying his now wife and fiance out of the elevator. If there is a video that actually shows him, quote unquote, knocking her out, I have not seen that. So you won't find from this member of the Ravens fan base, you will not find me convicting him for something that I'm not really sure he actually did.
Regarding athletes and entertainers and domestic abuse, there's been some heat as far as other sports commentators and other people speaking their mind regarding, you know, there's two sides of the story. You know, there's her side and his side, and then there's the truth. But people that come from our position, people that are sports casters, podcasters, or whatever, seem to be under fire for voicing their opinions, even if they're unfavorable. And as someone who's a part of the media as well, sports media as well, where people are looking forward to your opinion and want to know what you think to help spark the dialogue, how do you feel about people like Stephen A. Smith, who many people feel was kind of thrown under the bus for voicing his opinion? Did he go too far, or are we being a little too sensitive?
I'm one of those ones that has the unpopular opinion. While under no circumstances do I condone domestic violence on both male or female, vice versa, whichever way it may go, it's probably always best to get the facts to figure out what happened before you always jump to blame the woman and always assume that the woman is the victim. I had zero issues with Stephen A's comments, but unfortunately his employer did, and they suspended him for such comments. Kind of like, you know, what took place today with the situation with Tony Stewart. Everybody was jumping out there, you know, to convict him for hitting this guy, but then there are folks that wanted to come to his rescue and say, well, the guy should never have gotten out the car. Regardless, you know, without having all the facts, it's kind of hard for you to jump to conclusion with unnecessary comments. As far as the Ravens fan base, there was a lot of criticism about the folks giving him a standing ovation. I'm not sure what people thought was going to happen. Ray is a member of this Ravens team. In that particular situation, of course, the media blew it a little bit out of proportion because we were already standing. So I'm not sure, you know, what, you know, how they even jumped to that part of the conclusion. But at any rate, he is a member of this team. And unfortunately, what I have seen within, in and outside of the Ravens fan base, folks are probably more upset with Ray Rice, believe it or not, because of his lack of fantasy numbers, not necessarily about what actually took place in the elevator that evening.
Crystal, given all of the build up to the announcement of the suspension and the fine that Ray would have to deal with, or I guess maybe even after that was announced, there were lots of opinions given about was the fine and suspension too lenient. People wanted to bring up the fact that, well, for drug infractions, you get 4 games, which is more than what Ray Rice is going to serve as a suspension. You had, even among the hosts on this show, we were going back and forth about whether it should have been more severe, less severe, just right. I know Dee and I talked about the case of Ben Roethlisberger and what he got as a fine and suspension. And so a lot of people had some really strong opinions, and I feel like a lot of people actually started to just mimic other folks' opinions, and that became the narrative about what his suspension and fine should have been. So when it comes to that part of it, the quote-unquote backlash around what Roger Goodell handed down to Ray Rice, what were your thoughts on that?
I'm not sure why anybody thinks it's a good idea to kind of put all these things in the same bucket or cover them with the same blanket. All of the situations that you just mentioned are all different. And it's no secret that Ray took his case up to Roger Goodell when he sat down and had a conversation with him. You know, Roger Goodell saw the same video we all saw. Roger Goodell, I'm pretty sure, saw the charging document. Obviously, there wasn't enough there for him to give him any more than two-game suspension. So whether or not you feel like it was too lenient, too hard, not enough, just right, or whatever, at the end of the day, it wasn't up to us. It was up to the commissioner, who obviously had enough information or not enough information to make the decision. So I'm not sure how we arrive at these situations where we try to put everybody, all these situations across the NFL in one bucket and say that all suspensions or all, you know, punishments or all, whatever the case is, should be uniform when all situations are not uniform. Obviously, Roger Goodell felt, you know, that there was enough or not enough to apply the punishment accordingly.
All right, see, I got to chime in on that because I got to disagree with that. And I'll give Roger Goodell this. He did make a good point that in terms of substance abuse, be it marijuana or be it performance-enhancing drugs, that stuff is clearly laid out in the CBA that was negotiated on. So there are rules that are stated and are followed. But when it comes to personal conduct like this, like the Ben Roethlisberger case, like some of the other things that are going on with players in the league acting up, I do have to say that I think Roger Goodell, in this instance, since it was up to his discretion, should have laid down a more harsher punishment for what was pretty much domestic abuse, one way or another. I mean, like you said, we don't know the facts, but the facts were that Ray Rice's fiance at the time didn't just run her head into the side of the elevator and knock herself out. So this is a case of domestic abuse. The NFL really should have come up and made a bigger stance on something, especially when, and you're an example of this, the NFL has such a huge female fan base. So I can't just say that these two games is just okay. I think that was far too lenient and a huge mistake by Roger Goodell.
And we're going to have to agree or disagree. Like I said, what the part that's missing, whether anybody wants to bring it up and or add to it or not, is Ray Rice's wife and or fiance at the time also admitted to, and they were also in the documents, that she put her hands on him as well. Again, like I said, I do not condone domestic violence either way, backward or forward. However, we can't start talking about accountability and then accountability is only applied to one side. So are we saying we want Roger Goodell to impose a harder suspension because of who Ray Rice is? Because he want to send a message? What is that message exactly? That it's okay for females to do whatever they want, say whatever they want, and for males to react in a certain way and vice versa? So I'm not sure how we arrived here or how we get to where we need to get to if we're asking for Roger Goodell to send a quote-unquote message. What message are we asking him to send exactly?
Yeah, I think the message is pretty clear that he should be sending. I understand that as a male, you know, a woman can certainly abuse you. A woman can certainly be physical towards you. But as an NFL player, as an athlete in your prime, there should be a way of diffusing the situation, even if it regards violence, with a female, without taking the violence out on her, okay? There's a way to defend yourself without taking the violence to her. And
absolutely,
by the simple fact that she was knocked out, it seems to imply that Ray Rice took that violence to her. I've been in that situation before. As a male, I've been hit by a woman before, and you can still defend yourself and be a man without hitting the woman. And Ray Rice blatantly hit her because she was knocked out. End of story.
Again, we're going to have to agree or disagree. I need to take the fact that he's an NFL player out of it. He's still a man. She's still a woman. I'm not sure what the fact that the NFL is his employer and had to take the necessary action. I'm not real sure why, because he's an NFL player, makes the same difference from anything else. And like I said, all we saw on the video is that he was carrying her out of the elevator. Unless you saw something I didn't, unless you actually saw him knock her out, I'm not real sure what else you have to talk about.
I guess, you know, I got to disagree with that. What, she just ran her head into the side of the wall? She just passed out? No.
We don't know what happened before she got in the elevator. All we know is what happened when they got out of the elevator.
Right, but that's what I'm
saying. How do we know she wasn't in
the elevator? Regardless of how physical she was to him, he's a professional football player. He's a star athlete. I'm sure he could have defended himself without taking the violence to her. She was knocked out. She couldn't knock herself out. It's pretty simple.
How do we know she wasn't that intoxicated that she just passed out? How do we know that she may have hit? How do we know?
Come on,
we don't.
Please, no. She did not just pass out. Please. Plus, there's reports of people
Unless everything you say, I don't understand how you came to that realization.
Chris Mortensen has seen the video, and he reported that Ray Rice did, in fact, strike her.
But the charging document said they both struck each other. So that's what I understand. Where, how do we all, how do we get to the point where nobody else is being held accountable?
Oh, well, the legal thing is a totally different situation. Don't even get to me on the legal thing. We've seen plenty of cases. I mean, if we want to talk on the legal stuff, by that argument, you're saying that, you know, whatever his name is, who shot Trayvon Martin, is just fine because, you know, he wasn't charged. He was found innocent. So just because you were found or not charged or found innocent doesn't mean that you weren't in the wrong.
That's a different situation. Exactly, which is the same thing, what I would, like I just said. Just because they both were, had to go, they both were charged, they just, they both were found, there was, her charges were dropped, so that doesn't mean she wasn't wrong. Again, I don't condone either way around. All I'm saying is, it's not fair for us to jump out there and jump to these unnecessary conclusions without knowing exactly what happened. And obviously, Roger Goodell felt the same way. Otherwise, he would have gotten longer than 2 games suspension. That's it.
So, Crystal, with all of this being said, it's a tough way to try to transition into actual football, but, you know, we are a sports show, so that's what we do. Ray Rice, with this issue and coming off what was a subpar year, I know there was talk about offensive line issues with the Ravens. Is he on, I guess what you would want to call almost a third strike with the organization as far as, apart from the fact of this issue, his play as well? Because there was also talk that, you know, Ray Rice may be a little bit beat up because he's had so much workload in his NFL career and going back to college. Where do the Ravens kind of sit with him on the field? Again, it's a tough transition to make off the topic, but, you know, it's what we do. Where is he at with his status as a player, suspension and all that to the side?
I believe he's on notice. I believe with they're in camp right now with the rookie Tyler Farrell out there playing well, and Pierce is actually healthy and playing well, and then they went and got Justin Forsett. So I believe he's on notice. I believe he's on notice to perform. The incident aside, like I said, last year he did not have his best year. There are folks inside and outside the organization and the fan base amongst these fantasy team owners that are pissed, if you will, with him because he did not play up to expectations. So I believe he's going to notice. I believe this is a season that he either has to show up or get out.
Crystal, I definitely want to follow up on that and talk about leadership on this team. For the better part of a decade plus, actually, the leaders of this team were Ray Lewis and, to a lesser extent, Ed Reed, as well as Terrell Suggs. But still, it was the defense, primarily Ray Lewis. Where are you in terms of what you see from Joe Flacco being that guy? Because we are in an era where the quarterbacks, somewhat by default, even if it's not really what they've aspired to be, the quarterbacks are, by virtue of their position and their contracts, the leaders of these teams. So what are your thoughts or your fellow Ravens fans' thoughts on what you're seeing from Joe Flacco as it relates to his leadership and his ability to lead the Ravens to success?
Joe doesn't say a lot. Joe's kind of one of two where just goes out there and lets his play do the talking. So if we're looking to him for a leader in terms of vocal leadership, I don't think you're going to get it there. I think you're going to get it in terms of his work ethic and the way he practices and the way he plays. Having watched them practice probably about 4 times since they've been in camp, the offense is looking well. He went out on Thursday, if you watched the game. And he played well in the series that he was out there playing, hitting 4 or 5 different receivers. So I think if you're looking for him from a vocal leadership standpoint, you're not going to get that there, but you'll get it from his play. You'll get it from, you know, kind of, you know, just maybe sideline chats or, you know, locker room chats. But you're not going to get, you know, find him screaming and yelling like the Ed Reeds and the Ray Lewis's of the world. But I think these are all grown men, and I think that they can look to each other as a team, as a group, for some of that leadership. It's just probably going to be, you're probably going to be hard pressed outside of Terrell Suggs to get somebody that's going to be that vocal person.
Oh, as far as the division goes for all of our Ravens fans out there, who do you think is like the biggest threat that you've seen so far regarding, I don't know, the newly acquired draft picks, the free agency? Pittsburgh's just crazy dangerous. Are the Bengals like the new up and coming star. I mean, where do you guys fit in your division now?
I think Cincinnati probably will be our biggest, the folks that care to keep us up at night. They've only been at one team that's been right there, but for whatever reason, they couldn't get over the proverbial hump. I think Marvin Lewis is doing an excellent job out there with those guys. All the acquisitions they got in the draft, watching them play the other night. Pittsburgh still has a long way to go. They still have to address a lot of their O-line concerns. They still have some defensive players that are up there in age. So where we used to be worried about Pittsburgh, while we know they're there, we're not as worried about them. The Browns have done some things too. I don't think we're necessarily as worried about them as we probably should be. But I think right now Cincinnati is probably the team that keeps us up at night.
Crystal, my last question before we take a break and get your five favorite Baltimore sports moments. This has more to do with the media and how, I guess, fan bases in general react to what the talking heads say just for the sake of, I don't know, ratings or to be controversial. How much attention do you pay? Or I guess let me rephrase that. How much does it matter to you whether quote-unquote analyst ABC refers to Joe Flacco or considers Joe Flacco an elite quarterback? Every year, three or four times a year, these conversations pop up about who's an elite quarterback, who's not, et cetera, et cetera. How much does that really matter to you as a fan? Be honest about that.
I don't like the word because it's subjective. And every now and then they throw these quarterbacks into this quote-unquote elite category because, you know, maybe they may have had one good game or two good games. Well, pretty much by, you know, who they are, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, you know, whatever your name is, that's all you can into this elite category. My concern is, you know, this team has not been one to get respect to now. So we're not looking for it. We're not going to go out there looking for it. We would prefer to be that underdog team, that team that kind of takes you by surprise, the one that you know, you least expect to show improve. We had a rough season last year, finishing 8-8. I do not expect that to happen this year, but I don't really pay it too much attention. My concern is how they do on the field, how they play, how they perform, how they practice. That's huge for me. I believe that in most cases, practice translates to how they do on game day. So for me, from a fan, I don't really pay too much of the talking heads any attention. I don't like the word elite, subjective. They can, you know, they can throw me in there if they want. You know, we don't pay too much attention to it.
And there you have it, folks, the lowdown on all things Ravens with our girl Crystal. When we come back, top five moments in Baltimore sports history. I got a feeling I know what two of these are going to be. We'll be right back. This is the Section 357 show.
Tiffany Nancy, that's not what my plans be. Need a girl that can stand me, raise me a family. Go from trips to the land, see the trip to the Grammys. Cause most of these girls be confusing me. I don't know if they really love me or they using me. Maybe's the money or maybe you ain't used to me. Cause you was depressed and now you abusing me. That's why I need me a girl to be true to me. Know about the game and know how it do to me. Without a girl on my side, shit'll ruin me. Forget the world, girl, it's you and me. Now let's ride.
I need a girl to ride with me. I need a girl to make my
I need a girl that makes me feel so good inside.
I need a girl in my life.
I need a girl to ride with me.
I need a girl to be my
I need a girl that makes me feel so good inside.
I need a girl in my life.
Yo, I met a lot of women in my lifetime. But see, it's not a lot of women that got the right mind. I done had pretty chicks with all the right features and hood rat chicks that only rock sneakers, cell phones and beepers, and know how to treat ya. You break a heart, shit, walk out and leave ya. I find a girl, I'ma keep her, cause now I'm getting money and the game getting deeper. You want some real shit, I need somebody I can chill with, I need somebody I can build with, I need somebody I can hold tight. Wintertime in the full length, Snow White. Anytime we together feel so right. You the girl I've been looking for my whole life. God bless me, I'm glad I got the insight. Because of you, girl, now I understand life. I need a girl.
I need a girl to ride, ride, ride. I need a girl to make my one.
And we're back. This is the Section 357 show. Check us out, Twitter head, at Section 357. Section 357 podomatic.com for previous episodes. Section 357.wordpress.com. Great blog writing from LA Trey, D, Floyd, and myself. So, Crystal, we'll end this on a light moment. Top five moments in Baltimore sports history for you. Now, what were the top five things that have happened in Baltimore that really brought you to your feet? Top five moments. Give it to us.
Number five would probably be Ray Lewis' last game in M&T Bank Stadium. It was a great moment for him and, of course, for us as a fan, as fans when they played the Indianapolis Colts. Number four, although not a Baltimore team, would probably be the Washington Wizards going to the playoffs this year. That team has struggled mightily, but they got a lot of nice, young guys that I think will take that team a long way. Number three, the next three are probably going to be from the Super Bowl. So number three would be the power going out in the Super Bowl. Number two would be Jacoby Jones doing Ray Lewis' dance in the end zone in the Super Bowl. And, of course, number one would be Joe Flacco as the Super Bowl MVP and his face when they told me he got a call for being MVP.
All right, and there you have it. Five favorite Baltimore area sports moments from our girl Crystal, aka Raven Girl, on Twitter. If you're on that platform, find her and follow her. Crystal, with that being said, let all of our listeners know where they can find out more about where you're writing and who you're writing for, and connect with you on Twitter.
You can check me out at Gridiron Gals. And check me out on her game. And you can check me out on Twitter at RVN Girl.
Well, fellas, with that being said, last call for alcohol or something like it. Out there on the left coast, Trey, what do you have, man?
My last call is going out to the fans. I'm pointing my finger at you guys this time around. And in order for you to enjoy sportscasting or healthy debates, we've got to, as viewers, have thicker skin. And realize that sometimes the conversation is not going to go the way you want it to go or in an opinion that you think is the most important. And there has been there's been more of an attack lately with people like Stephen A. Smith. One of the hosts from the Opie and Anthony show was just suspended for saying some unpopular things, and Libertard didn't. Suspended or getting in trouble for putting up billboards. If these people are voicing their opinion because that's their job, and if you want refreshing, thought-provoking conversation or something that's going to keep you interested, you're diluting the pool of ingenious thought when you muzzle these individuals. If you want good content, you have to allow people to say what's on their mind. And if you can't handle it, or better yet, for those people that are thirsting for that unfiltered approach as to what their favorite sports topics or entertainment goes, the best route to go about it is what you're doing right now, by listening to independent podcasts where we don't have to worry about a specific sponsor and them pulling dishwater detergent from our ad campaign to keep us quiet. You hold the power. And if you want it on network TV and you want to see the real, you got to get thicker skin or it will be diluted. And you're only going to get the same talking heads. But the best way around it is through shows like this, through the Section 357 show or your other favorite podcast. You guys hold the power. Exercise.
All right. Last call for alcohol or something like it. D. What do you have, man?
Floyd, I'm glad you bring that up. My last shout kind of goes out to you and Trey. Our guest Crystal was on today, and we were very thankful for her for joining the show. But the Falcons and the Titans go up to Baltimore to play the Ravens this year, and we're certainly going to be looking out to see the reaction to how Floyd and Trey react as the Ravens and their defense and that elite quarterback that they have take down those two teams.
Big Shot Ron, last call for alcohol or something like, what do you have?
My last call goes out to you, the fan, and having a discerning ear and a discerning eye for what you consume as far as sports. Yes, this issue of domestic violence is not a comfortable one. However, even in domestic violence, as horrible as it is, there is still room for alternate views and alternate opinions. And my biggest concern that Trey hit on is that too many of the big networks are in bed with sponsors and have to toe a certain line. And I think not only does that dilute the coverage, as Trey talked about it, it gives a false sense of what people really think and really want. So for you, the sports fan, whether it's our show, another indie podcast, or even if it's simply just the league network, an NFL network, MLB, NBA, start to vary your sports view, because there's not just what ESPN tells you. It's not the only source for news, and it's certainly not the only view of the world. So be discerning and choose other avenues to get different opinions, to be a more informed fan. One view does not make sports. That's my last call. Floyd, your last call and take us out of here.
My last call, as usual, goes out to the fans. And we, of course, enjoy having this conversation, and it's our pleasure and privilege to be able to have this show and bring it to the fans. So thank you for all of our fans out there. Thank you to all of our fans out there, actually, for checking in, listening to the show, passing the word, following us on Twitter, being willing to have, you know, disagreements, debates about what we talk about, and to really embrace different points of view. So thank you to all of the fans out there. And thank you again to Crystal, a.k.a. Raven Girl, for spending some time with us and giving us her perspective. Crystal, thank you, and you're always welcome back here on the Section 357 show.
Thank you all for having me and allowing me to share my unpopular opinion. I'm looking forward to a outstanding 2014-15 NFL season.
Now, with that being said, good luck to you and your favorite teams out there wherever you might be. This is the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house. Until next time, take care.